This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, reminding you, you can email the show. Love, hate, death threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions for Thursday this week. Sorry, I'm gone on Friday. Thursday's my last day. Get all those emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We'll get back to the politics. We'll get back to the emails. There are many things we're going to get back to, but it's Monday, start of the second hour, and you know what that means. It's Medal of Honor Monday time. Every single Monday, for you new listeners, this is what we do. We take a Medal of Honor citation and read it. That's it. Everyone has access to these. Keep that in mind. I encourage people to do this in their own homes. Read these to your children. Read them to, are you a teacher? Read them to your school. Are you a coach? Read them. Read them to your Sunday school. Look, they're not political. It's men who were heroes doing amazing things, holding these men up to remember their deeds, to remember their names, and to hold them up as an example for the next generation. This is what you want to be. You see, this is who you want to be. You want to be Mr. Richard Hetherington O'Kane. This guy, you know what? I'll talk a little bit more about submarine warfare and World War II in a moment, but without further ado, let's do it.
Ready? Aim.
Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty as commanding officer of the USS Tang, operating against two enemy Japanese convoys on the 23rd and 24th of October during her fifth and last war patrol. Boldly maneuvering on the surface into the midst of a heavily escorted convoy, Commander, pause on this real quickly for a second. I'm going to go through this line by line and explain it all after if any of this is confusing you, so just stay with me. Commander O'Kane stood in the fusillade of bullets and shells from all directions to launch smashing hits on three tankers, coolly swung his ship to fire at a freighter, and, in a split-second decision, shot out of the path of an onrushing transport, missing it by inches. Boxed in by blazing tankers, a freighter, transport, and several destroyers, he blasted two of the targets with his remaining torpedoes and, with pyrotechnics bursting on all sides, cleared the area. 24 hours later, he again made contact with a heavily escorted convoy steaming to support the Leyte campaign with reinforcements and supplies and with crated planes piled high on each unit. In defiance of the enemy's relentless fire, he closed the concentration of ships and in quick succession sent two torpedoes into the first and second transports and an adjacent tanker, finding his mark with each torpedo in a series of violent explosions at less than 1,000-yard range. With ships bearing down from all sides, he charged the enemy at high speed, exploding the tanker in a burst of flame, smashing the transport dead in the water, and blasting the destroyer with a mighty roar which rocked the Tang from stern to stern. Expending his last two torpedoes into the remnants of a once powerful convoy before his own ship went down, Commander O'Kane, aided by his gallant command, achieved an illustrious record of heroism in combat, enhancing the finest traditions of U.S. naval service. That is so absurdly brave. I need to explain it in a little bit more detail here for a moment. First of all, why convoys? What's going on with these Japanese convoys? Well, this is October 1944, so this is towards the end of the war. And towards the end of the war, we were starving the nation of Japan to death. Japan does not have very many natural resources. They just don't. It's an island chain of volcanic rock. They must ship in things they need. Oil, steel, food, all these things. We had built a big navy by then, and what we were doing is we were sinking every Japanese ship we could find. Not just naval vessel, supply ships. Supply ships that are going different places. We'll get to, they mentioned Leyte in a moment. Let's talk about that right now. They mentioned one of the ships was going to Leyte. What's at Leyte? What's he talking about? What's Leyte? That's the Philippines. We had landed in the Philippines, and we were taking the Philippines back. The Japanese were sending reinforcements, planes, food, bullets, everything, so they could last longer and kill our men in Leyte. Keep in mind, everything on these ships would aid in the slaughter of our men as we took back the Philippines. So these submarines, these submariners, they were hunter-killers at this time. Naval vessels or convoys. The Japanese were not stupid, though. The Japanese knew we were going to attack their shipping lanes, so they would put their naval vessels, specifically they would put anti-submarine vessels like destroyers out there. Now, this is where I need to clarify something about submarines, because people can and often do get this wrong. The mind plays a trick. When I picture a submarine, maybe this is because it was the first movie I pictured with these things. You know what I picture? I picture The Hunt for Red October. I picture some gigantic, all-powerful submarine that can go down to incredible depths and essentially can travel without being detected. So a submarine should be very safe, right? Should be a fairly safe thing. Yes, it was a pretty good movie, Chris. An even better book, but I'm not going to waste my breath on you. I know you don't read. Just watch the movie. You'll get what you can get. Anyway, submarines. In World War II, that is not what submarines were. Submarines, yes, they could get in and out of places sometimes without being seen. Submarines were a dangerous place to be. Do you know that at the beginning of World War II, wrap your mind around this, and this went on for the first, I think, 2 or 3 years of the war, if you were a submariner, if you were on the silent service is what they called it, if you were on one of these ships, 25%, that was your chances of dying. 25% of our submariners went down to the bottom of the ocean. You can find submarines in World War II. They're not even that deep. You can find them. They have to surface to go at any speed, really. When they went under, they would travel really on battery power, a fraction of the speed. So it's not like if one of these Japanese destroyers finds you, it's not like you can just go under. Hey, let's just dive. You can picture the movies, right? Dive, dive, dive. Yeah, dive all you want. The destroyer is just going to come right over the top of where you are and drop depth charges on top of you and send you to the bottom of the ocean. It was that scary. And as you think about that Medal of Honor citation, he's popping up. He's surfacing in these convoys. A submarine is not armored. It cannot be armored. He's charging other vessels and surfacing, duking it out with not only convoy ships, with naval vessels, and he's doing this in a ship that is so incredibly fragile. It's not some armored battleship. You can just sit and take shells and give shells back. It's not some barroom brawler with big guns and big armor. He is on the most delicate, sensitive ship he could possibly be on, where one good blast from somebody's deck gun, a smaller gun, and his submarine now can't submerge anymore because they get decidedly less waterproof when there are holes in the side of them. I would encourage you, I don't have time to get into it tonight. We have too many emails, too much politics, too many other things to do. Go read about Dick O'Kane. Commander O'Kane. Go read about what he did, the more details of this story. He essentially was committing suicide for himself, his men, and his ship in an effort to keep these supplies from getting to the Philippines where they would have killed our guys. This is a man, honestly, that's so brave. He was trying to give his life for our troops. It doesn't look that way, but that he was jumping on a grenade. That's what he did here. The silent service, man. And these submariners in World War II, they'd go into a Japanese harbor and blow up ships. And not all of them lived because, again, these ships are not hard to find. And when you find one, they're not hard to destroy, these submarines back then. It's a very, very brave service, very underrated. As much as it pains me to compliment the Navy, there really are. The U.S. Navy in World War II, man, just hats off to you, fellas. Hats off to you. And look, you're not Marines, but you can only do what you can do. Stop. Here's something else. Let's do this email. Hey, Dr. Leathers. You've been talking about donation matches happening at preborn. Does this match apply to recurring donations as well? Best $28 I spend every month. If you have time, I'd like to add a personal note. When I was very young and ignorant, my girlfriend got pregnant. We believed in the clump of cells garbage at that time, and we ended the life. Once we woke up to the truth, we were devastated. My wife, who has since passed, fought the guilt of our decision the rest of her life. And for you men, to this day, 48 years later, the pain hits men too. The answer to your question is yes, preborn is matching all donations right now. They got a matching grant. I love that reoccurring donation, $28 a month. And look, we all screw up, man. Don't let that guilt eat you alive. But go, hey, everybody, give to preborn. Save a life. It's a life you're buying with that ultrasound. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Don't forget, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. One last thing on this war on Trump type thing they're going to do. I've been warning you about how they're prepping the ground. When I say prepping the ground, they're prepping Norm and Norma. Not you. You can't be prepped. I'm not worried about you. But Norm and Norma, they can be prepped. They can be conditioned. That's why they loved wearing a mask. That's why they're on their 16th booster shot. That's why they had to announce how many black friends they had after George Floyd died. Norm and Norma can be prepped. The media is prepping Norm and Norma for what they know the Justice Department's going to do to Trump. That's why you're going to read article after article, see news story after news story about why Trump is the height of all evil. This one here, this is from The Atlantic. The war on blue America. In a second term, Trump would punish the cities and states that don't support him. And on the cover of the article, they have a bunch of scary looking dudes in riot gear on there. What are they doing? What's the system doing? They're making sure the anger isn't turned up too high when they throw Trump in prison, because they're going to simply sell it. Well, we had to stop a tyrant. We're stopping a tyrant. This is about saving freedom. Look at all these evil things Trump's going to do if we don't stop him. Look, we have to. I have no choice. And you know how you know what the scariest part about what they're doing to Trump is? How you know I'm right about all the dire predictions I've made? The scariest part is Biden will not comment on it. He's been asked many times to comment on it, but he will not. Now, why is that scary? What does that mean? Joe Biden understands what the system is doing, and Joe Biden also understands that Norm and Norma cannot suspect him of doing what he very clearly has done, arrested and imprisoned his political opponent in an election year. But because he doesn't want that stink on him, or he wants as little of that stink on him as possible, he's acting like, well, hey, look, I'm staying out of this. It's just up to the courts. It wouldn't be right for me to comment. That way it doesn't look as political as it clearly is. Speaking of political, we will get to the Hunter Biden charges, the Hunter Biden comments and other things. But I'm going to get to a couple emails. I may even end up taking some phone calls. Not yet. Not in a little bit. Let's do this first. Jesse, what do you think would happen if the next POTUS were to say to the world, we're pulling all of our foreign aid, we're pulling all these dollars back, we're going to rebuild the military, aggressively defend our borders, empower the border states, rededicate American taxpayer dollars to the citizens, any surplus will be deporting illegals. Okay, so this is a stance that you want, that I want, for the most part. What do I think would happen? They'd kill him. Listen, this is what's hard for people to understand. I take that back. This is what's hard for people to accept. It's very, very, very hard for people to accept that they live underneath an evil system. I was watching, you know, I told you I thought I've watched every single documentary out there of World War I and World War II. I found there's a new one out on Netflix that I've been watching it. And I don't remember because I'm watching two simultaneously, but I think this is the one I'm talking about. They're interviewing it's really well done. They're interviewing various people from all kinds of backgrounds, Japanese, German, American, everything. And one of the Nazi guys they're interviewing on here, he says, man, I thought I was a force for good. I thought we were doing good. Now, wrap your mind around how naive you have to be to march into Poland and start filling up trenches with dead people. They would just line people up right off the bat and just start shooting people in the face. And as you conduct yourself that way, you are convinced as a member of the German army that Germany is good, that the German government is good, that the things you're doing are good. It sounds crazy, right? But don't mock him. It's hard for patriotic people to accept that their country has turned evil, at least large parts of it. It's easy for the left to say that about America. They've always hated it. You love it. I love it. It's hard to accept that the system itself is evil, and it's so evil that it will kill, ruin, and imprison anyone who challenges it or threatens it in any way. Look, why do you really think Jeffrey Epstein's no longer with us? If Jeffrey Epstein had dirt on a bunch of losers that you've never heard of, Jeffrey Epstein would still be alive and well in a federal prison somewhere. But Jeffrey Epstein threatened the system. Jeffrey Epstein had blackmail dirt on people who still make decisions that very much affect your life and my life. And the system's only job is to protect itself. At all times, the system protects itself. This is why I don't put all kinds of faith in these presidential candidates. None of them. Oh, if this guy gets in, he's going to clean it all up. If Trump gets in, he'll clean it all up. If DeSantis gets in, he'll clean it all up. No, that's not possible once your system gets this rotted. That's why we have to start from the outside in, the hinterlands in, local community first, because you cannot walk into D.C. and drain the swamp. It's not possible, all right? That's fine. This means you gotta have the energy for the fight we have coming. Local fights, state fights, those are our fights now, our most important fights. So get your T levels up, fellas, so you're ready. Ladies, get your energy levels up. You running out of gas early? Fellas, women, are you down a lot? Depressed a lot? Everything sucks. Are you down sometimes and you can't explain why? Get on a female vitality stack from Chalk, or a male vitality stack from Chalk. We're not talking big pharma crap here. These are natural herbal supplements. Your body is craving them and you don't even know it. Your mind is craving them and you don't even know it. You will feel so good, so full of energy, such a better mood, a better life. Chalk makes my entire life better. How many things make your entire life better? CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse gets you Christmas sales on everything. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. It's Hunter Biden talk time. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, I want to ask you something.
What's the worst you ever got in trouble as a kid? 877-377-4373. I want to know the worst you ever got in trouble as a kid. Because I'm looking at this Hunter Biden stuff, and he's in deep trouble. I'll get to the Hunter Biden stuff in a moment. Let's talk to this kid. My daughter, Annabelle, and I have been day one listeners. Enjoy your podcast. She's only 9, a rabid anti-communist. Turns out she has 130 IQ in reading and verbal comprehension. Just like me, Chris. What, Chris? Anyway, I hate to stunt her growth by reading community college material, but it's time for her to read the anti-commie Bible. I'm going to buy her a copy of the Anti-Communist Manifesto for Christmas. I was wondering if you still offered signed copies for sale, as I gave mine to a friend with instructions to pass it on. If not, I could just scribble it with red half-eaten crayon. That's not nice. Yes, there's still... Look, jessekellybook.com still exists, and like halfway down the page, you can still go buy some autograph ones. I don't know how many of those are left, but I know there's at least one because the link is still up. So there you go. All right. Again, we're going to get to the calls about the worst you ever got in trouble as a child. That's all I want to hear tonight. 877-377-4373. But let's talk about Hunter Biden. And let's pause on this. I've done this before. But let's remember something. I guess you could probably make this argument for most people, bad people. But I view Hunter Biden as a sympathetic figure. Now, that, I didn't say my heart breaks for him. I didn't say he should be able to get off scot-free. I am very, very aware that Hunter Biden is an unmitigated disaster. Hunter Biden, just look, to spoil a couple things for you, Hunter Biden indicted on 9 tax charges, adding to gun charges in a special counsel investigation. Remember, he's still facing a felony charge for illegally purchasing a weapon. He lied on a form. I won't go into the details. You have to fill out a form when you're buying a weapon. And if you lie on it, it's not a gray area. It's very black and white. If you lie on it, that's a felony. Prison. Boom. Lie, felony, prison. Boom. Okay, so he still has that. That's not even part of this. This, though, it's the details of the taxes. He owes at least $1.4 million in taxes from a 3-year period. And some of the things that Hunter Biden did, again, I understand this is not somebody easy to feel sympathy for, and reading these details don't make it any easier, but Hunter Biden tried to write off 6 figures in prostitute fees on his taxes? That's so crazy. I almost admire it. That's amazing. He's writing off prostitutes on his taxes. My accountant won't even let me write off dinner at Red Lobster. Hunter Biden gets to write off hookers. Gosh. And look, he made $7 million in this few year period. This is 16 to 20. And didn't pay $1.4 million in taxes. While being hooked on drugs, while having a relationship with his dead brother's wife, while fathering a child with a stripper in the Midwest, and then not acknowledging the child, he had to be sued for child support. So I know this is a hard person to feel sorry for, but I do want to remember, I do want to remind everybody, Joe Biden is the real bad guy here. And I'm not even talking about his links to these crimes. Remember this. Remember, Joe Biden, after he was very young, just getting into Congress, after a horrific car crash that saw his young son Hunter in a cast, Joe Biden had to be sworn in to, you know, become a congressman officially. He had to be sworn in. They told Joe Biden he could do this. He could delay the swearing in. He could do it in the hospital hallway because, of course, he wanted to be there for the family. Joe Biden said no. He insisted that this become a photo op. So he took his son Hunter in a cast, laid out in a hospital bed, and forced him to put on a suit And now the photo op is available. You don't have to take my word for this. You can go look it up. Image search right now. Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, hospital, sworn in. That should pull it up for you, I'm sure. You can go look at a picture of what I'm saying. Joe Biden's broken little boy. He forced him to get dolled up so he could have a good photo op while he was being sworn into Congress. You think Joe Biden being a soulless monster is a new thing that came with the dementia? Joe Biden has always been a really evil human being. And it's easy to look at Hunter Biden now with what a disaster he is. And it's easy to point and laugh. And we can, and I do, and I will. I'm not saying like I'm above that. But it's easy to point and laugh at Hunter Biden. But Hunter Biden being a grease fire as a 53-year-old man, he's that way because of his evil father. Hunter Biden never even had a dad, I would be willing to bet. We know from Ashley Biden's diary how he treated his daughter. Obviously, his sons were not treated any better. And to make your sons join your criminal enterprise, because we all know the deal. You know the deal. I know the deal. This is all from Joe Biden. He's referenced as the big guy. We have witnesses. We have verified emails. Joe Biden is the head of this criminal organization, the head. He's not some hapless stooge. Oh, what? Are we committing crimes? Joe Biden is the big cheese. He's the mob boss. He enlisted his own son to commit crimes for him. I have two little boys, and one of my biggest fears in the world is that they pick up all the bad things about their dad. Joe Biden flat out recruited his son to commit crimes on his behalf. And now Hunter's in deep trouble. Remember, they now have to bring these charges, and they have to, at least in part, throw some of the book at Hunter Biden, because they already tried to get him off with that sweetheart immunity deal. They tried to get him off scot-free, which was going to basically give him immunity for any future crimes that would come up, which they knew future crimes were going to come up, because Hunter Biden not only commits crimes, he records them all on his laptop. Anyway, they have to do something to him now. And you know what my theory is, what my theory has always been. My theory is the system is going to use Hunter Biden's crimes to get Joe Biden to drop out of the race. Hey, Joe, sorry to interrupt your pudding. We'll wipe your butt in a little while. Would you please drop out of the race? Oh, you won't? Joe, you're unpopular. Even this guy Charlemagne, this Democrat's yelling about
you. I know he thinks he's got this in the bag, but the polls say otherwise. I want Biden stepping in to beat Trump the way I want him stepping in to defend me at a bar fight.
Joe, could you resign? No. Okay, Joe, resign, or we throw the whole book at Hunter Biden, and maybe you go down with him. And there's another part of this that I think people are not considering as a possibility. You know, even hardened mafia guys will roll over and turn state's evidence when presented with 20 years in prison. How do we know Hunter Biden is not going to roll over on dad? How does Joe Biden know Hunter Biden won't roll over on dad? As we just elaborated, this isn't exactly some wonderful family unit here. My dad would lay down and die for me. And I for him. I don't know that that same relationship exists between Hunter and Joe. So it's bad for the Bidens. It's really, really bad. And I think intentionally so, because Democrats are the only ones with the stones to actually remove somebody from office this way. The GOP will still be sitting in the back. Well, I don't know if we should impeach. We should definitely investigate for another 24 months or so and make sure we have all the T's crossed and I's dotted. I mean, that's not who we are, guys. It's not who we are. Gosh. All right. 877-377-4373. I don't want to talk any politics. No, none of that. I want to know what's the worst you ever got in trouble as a kid. The worst you ever got in trouble as a kid. I'm trying to think mine, Chris. I got in trouble so much. Man, there were so many times that I just, oh gosh. Yeah, you know what? I have a few I'm going to bring up. I have a few. Yeah, I got to get some things off my chest before we do that. Speaking of chest, it would really hurt to get shot in the chest with a hero gun. You know, I tell you about the hero guns. They shoot the pepper balls. They're non-lethal. They shoot pepper balls. You know that the pepper balls they shoot go 100 miles an hour? That hurts. And then, wham, that thing nails you. And then it explodes. And you're all of a sudden in some pepper cloud. You can't breathe. Your eyes feel like they're melting out of your skull. It will stop a very, very, very bad man from hurting you very badly. You do not need a concealed carry permit for this. Get one, get that or a Hero Arrow and carry them on you, all right? Hero2020.com, code Jesse gets you a special discount. Hero2020.com, code Jesse, state restrictions may apply. We will be back with my childhood and yours. Hang on.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. That's a great song, Chris. That's a great song. You're doing well tonight. I feel like we're more committed tonight. I feel like you're more committed to better music tonight. You're half asleep. Well, that probably figures it. You know, he's probably high is what it probably is. Anyway, you know why we're going to the worst you ever screwed up as a child, the worst you ever got in trouble as a child? You know why we're switching gears here just for a little bit? Because of this. There's a new poll out today. It's before we go to the poll, I want to explain something. You know why we have inflation, right? You understand why we have inflation. We have inflation because the government spends and prints money. There's not really a second reason. I'm sorry. That's why there's inflation. And specifically, we stopped an economy for a virus and then printed like $7 trillion. Now we have inflation. And the reason they can't get it under control is they can't stop spending and printing money. So they ran a poll on how people want inflation tackled. Because you're suffering from inflation. I'm suffering from inflation. You can't escape it. Everyone is. Well, 66% of the population wants government price controls to solve inflation. Government price controls, which will slaughter an economy, create shortages like you can't even imagine. That's Venezuela-style empty shelves come with government price controls, and 66% of the American population thinks that's the solution for inflation. Ah, but Jesse, that's just because of the communists. Yeah, they actually have it broken down by party, and you're not necessarily wrong. Don't get me wrong, 80% of Democrats want it because they're communists. 56% of Republicans to 44 want government price controls. 56% of Republicans. As I have said over and over and over again, we say we have a politician problem. We have all these politicians we hate. I hate Joe Biden. I hate AOC. I hate Nancy Pelosi. Chuck Schumer's a piece of trash. I hate this guy. I hate that guy. We're in a primary right now, so maybe you're all, I hate Trump. I hate DeSantis. Whatever. But we don't have a politician problem. We have a people problem. The problem is our politicians in this country accurately reflect the population. I remember I was asking, I was pressing him, I guess, probably pretty hard, Senator Ron Johnson out of Wisconsin. I was interviewing him one time, and I was pressing him hard on spending, because you know how upset I get about spending. There's no money left, and I understand this spending is what's causing the inflation that's hurting your life. And so I was pressing him. I said, Senator, why is there never any talk about how the money's gone and things like what? Why has no one ever discussed this? And he was very honest. He said, Jesse, hey, I'm a fiscal hawk, but I'm telling you right now, the population doesn't care. There's no movement at all from the populace to push the congressmen, senators, and president to stop spending money. Now, I understand there are reasons for this, right? Our dumbed down American politics, or dumbed down American public, I should say. Well, they've been educated by communists for a very long time. And so they're not educated at all. The American population overall is unbelievably naive and stupid. Your teacher, in the meantime, is busy pushing things like this. District's LGBTQ lesson plans for kindergartners includes resources from a pro-sex change organization. Ah, Jesse, that's crazy. I can't believe California. Except this is in Kansas. We have evil people who run the education system in this country. Evil people in the administration. Evil people on the school boards. Evil people teaching the classes. And that's a big reason why the American population is so stupid that they think price controls are going to actually save us from inflation. Did you hear this lady from Ireland? Golly, this is the predators we have in our schools.
So we've had to have parent consultations. You know, and the only advice I can give you around that is don't send a letter home to say you're about to embark on this work. That's the worst thing you can do. Don't hold a parents meeting. You don't want 30 parents shouting at you. Who wants that in your life? That's an awful thing to do. But what you can do is you can survey parents. You can ask them where they feel they need help. You're not asking them if they like it or not. That's not the issue. It's in policy. We have to do this work. But you can say, on which of these equality strands do you need help? You know, do you need help talking to your child about racism? Do you need help talking to your child about disabilities? Do you need help talking about sexual orientation, gender? And just see what comes back. And so you're doing it in a more supportive manner.
These are the people who educate our kids. Wrap your mind around that, man. All right. Chris, I think this is going to be the guy. I don't know. We'll see. Joe, Queens, go. Oh, no. Did I do something wrong? Joe, Queens, go. Joe, Chris, it's doing some lock thingy. Can you come in here and look at this? Sorry. We should do this off the air. It's locked or something, Chris. Anyway, I hope Joe and Queens isn't talking right now. While we wait for Joe and Queens, let's talk to you about something more important. Your dog. You see, dogs are wonderful. And our dogs, it's not just that they die too early. They have way too many health problems in the end. And I've gone through this with all my dogs. Oh, his hips went bad. His eyes went bad. His breast stinks so bad that even the neighbors are complaining. It sucks, right? Well, wouldn't your body break down worse and faster if you didn't give it nutrition? Start pouring Rough Greens on your dog's food. Your dog's body breaks down way too early. Your dog has more health problems than he should because your dog eats empty calories every meal. There's no nutrition in dog food. None. That's why it's all brown. It's all dead. Brown things are dead things. Rough Greens is alive. All natural nutritional supplement you pour on your dog's food. Omega oils for everything, really. Probiotics for his belly, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants. Give your dog the gift of life. Call Rough Greens, 833-33-MY-DOG, or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. All right? All right, I have a couple things. One, there's good news. You know how Americans are moving? Americans are moving. They're packing it up. Moving companies are making a killing. They're fleeing blue areas and moving to red areas. Many people, when they hear that, they say, oh, great, they're going to ruin it. They're going to ruin everything here. I have an update on that. We have some updated numbers, and I think it'll make you feel a little bit better about some stuff. We're going to play John Kerry. And more importantly, you're going to call 877-377-4373 and tell the entire country about the worst time you got in trouble as a child. All right? Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.